call them stages as far as reopening campus conversations. We've had a ton of small group community happening all throughout COVID. So praise God, when you've got a discipleship-driven church, it just works. But the corporate gatherings have been a little unique. But we've talked about stages. We're not ready to move into stage three yet. We're waiting for some restrictions to be lifted from the state side. But we are moving into our stage two through that conversation. And so what I want to say today real quick is we have pushed the limits of our corporate gathering every week for the last 3 to 4 weeks. And then we have people that, well, that's a good thing, yeah. People that are slowly coming back. People, we've probably still only seen about 50% of our church actually come back on campus. But what it is, we've had a lot of people tell us that, hey, we're okay. We're watching it online. We're doing all this, the children's ministry. So if you have other people, we're going to just stay home and not take up a seat. But here's the deal. If we have people that are willing to come back, we want to move back into the fullness. So we want to move into two services. So please reach out. Let us know where you're at. I don't know what that looks like, but email the church office and say, hey, you know, I would come back, but I've just been leaving my seat for somebody else. And we'll make those decisions. But I don't see it being too far down the road where we'll be able to actually go back to two services. Because of all the encouragement that you guys are giving to us. That good? Is that clear? Clear as mud? If you ever have any questions, go to catalystnwa.com. So today we are continuing our conversation, Heart for the House. Last week we just introduced the conversation about stewardship. So we're talking about stewarding what God's given to us, time, treasure, talent. And today we want to talk about stewarding the vision of knowing Christ and making Him known, what that looks like. Now, if you've been at Catalyst for a while, you get the vision, you understand it, but I don't want you to check out. I want you to listen in because the Spirit always has something to lead us and the Spirit always has something to teach us. And if you're newer with us, we're just going to briefly go over this, but we talk a lot about vertically driven fellowship with Christ at Catalyst, right? But we also talk about making Him known in the sense of living that out. First place we live that out is in our homes and all of that, but we also live that out in biblical community. And if you've never been in deep biblical community, then you're missing out. This past week we had a rough week. We had a lot of loved ones that went home to be with Jesus. Some you know, family members of people in our church. We said goodbye to a baby. It's a tough week. And I watched as a pastor, as a shepherd, as a leader, we watched you guys, we watched the biblical community gather around one another and do what you do, making Christ known in biblical community in that horizontal. I'm vertical with Jesus. I know Christ, and now I'm going to go make Him known. And I just want to say thank you. Thank you for taking this call to discipleship, this vision, so seriously. And if you're not in biblical community, I ask you why. Why not? What are you missing? If it's not Catalyst, that's okay. Find the church. But if you're not in biblical community in the family of God, it's not a question mark in the Scriptures as if we're called to it. It's a very clear commandment, and we see it all throughout the New Testament and the early church history. They were in community. What are we missing? Why would we not be in biblical community? I don't know those answers. Many times it's because people have been hurt, and they've had bad experiences in church. Well, you're going to have a bad experience at this church. I'm just telling you. You might have it before you leave today. I don't know. We're not perfect people, but we love Jesus, and we love one another. And we're called to be unified in our diversity, our color, our background, our cultures, our side of the tracks, our socioeconomic. We're all coming from different backgrounds. And the thing that unites us is not the horizontal platforms and where we've come from. It's Jesus, and it's the love of Christ. It's the gifts of the Spirit. It's the fruits of the Spirit in our lives that say we can do better because of Christ. That's what this is all about. I love talking about our vision, knowing Christ and making Him known. And if you're at Catalyst and you kind of just poo-poo the vision, yeah, I get it, we've talked about it enough, then you don't get it. And if you're at Catalyst and you get it, then you should be so encouraged by your biblical community this week, watching what God has been able to do through you guys, through the people. And I got one EGS I'm going to share at the end. I talked about Nikki's story last week. Of how God's using some of you. gosh, people all around us are looking for hope. I've said this for quite a while in this season. I've not seen another season in my life that I've seen more people looking for hope. I would say the week after September 11th was kind of that same vein, but even in this season, much more than that. And guys, we have the hope of the world. We have Jesus. And Jesus said, if you've got a light that shines, do not hide it under a bushel. That light is to be shown. It's to be displayed for the world to see. And we are the light of the world, knowing Christ and making Him known. People are looking for gospel context to many sin and hot button issues today. So I'm not going to go very long down this. You know us if you've been around, if you watch some of the family meeting stuff, if you're a member here. But we at Catalyst Church, we are about Jesus. We are about the gospel. We believe that when, as believers in Jesus Christ, that as God leads us to go out into society, that we will make changes based on the fruit of abiding in Christ, right? But the church, I don't believe, and we don't believe at Catalyst, is called to go out and do some horizontal social justice campaign to try to fix the world system, because Jesus said the system's broken. There is a God, a little g God of this world. His name's Satan, and he has dominion and authority over certain aspects, and we're not called to fix all of this. We're called to bring hope and light in the midst of it. Now, some people disagree with that, and they go out and they say, well, as the church, we've got to go get into all these different areas, government and politics and school systems, and we are called to be in them and shine the light, but we're not called to go fix them all because they're unfixable because they're led by human beings. And so at Catalyst, we are gospel central. I pray to God, if He's called you to be a lawyer, go be a Christian godly lawyer. If He's called you to be a politician, go. We need those. But to say the church is going to go try to fix some system, we got to work on the church first. The system of the church. That's what He's called us to here. And then go live that out. I hope that makes sense. And if you know us, you know our long-standing conversation. We encourage people to be involved in all of those areas. But at Catalyst Church, people are asking in today's context, well, what does the Catalyst think about this and the race and all these things that are happening? And we always point them back to gospel truth. And so we always want to go back to the Bible and the Holy Spirit. So that's part of our vision. We're not going to get caught up in these other areas. We're going to stick to Jesus, because Jesus does change and transform lives. In this time and season, we have Christ followers that are looking for community. They're looking for good church homes. So we have lost people looking for hope. We have people looking for answers. But then we have people and churches that are looking for a church that will rise up and that will focus on Jesus and stop focusing on all these other things. A lot of churches are getting sucked into a lot of these peripheral conversations, and they're losing their voice. Oh, they're gaining voice in the secular community, but they're pointing people to secular options and secular answers. They're not pointing people to Jesus. What blows my mind is I look down the list. I'm a big worldview guy. I'm a big politics guy. I think legally, I think legislatively, I love politics. I look at all that and I say, if you get Jesus there, if you get Jesus, Jesus. The answer to that, well, Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. It's not difficult, so why would I go try to fix it some other way? I'm going to keep bringing the small group that God's given me influence back to Jesus, back to Jesus. So at Catalyst, you're going to hear knowing Christ, make Him known. You're going to hear knowing Christ, make Him known. And then the next week, somebody's going to say, what are we talking about today? We're talking about knowing Christ and making Him known. And we do that in different ways and in different areas, and we celebrate what God's doing, and we live with people in their celebration of birth and then in their celebration of life when they send people home to be with Jesus. It's a weird dichotomy. Being in church leadership is so strange. You might leave a funeral and walk into a premarital counseling conversation, and you've got to ride these emotional roller coasters. And if it wasn't for the solid foundation of what we're talking about today, I would lose my mind as a leader. Because if you're asking for Nate to bring a peace to someone who just lost a loved one unexpectedly, and then go smile at someone who's saying, the world, we got the world ahead of us, and nothing's going to stop us, and we're young, and we just love each other in romance. And if you expect me to have answers for all of those things, I'm not the guy. But when I come with Jesus, when I come and say, look, the answer over here is we get to celebrate. We don't mourn like those that have lost people outside of Christ. We mourn like those who will see them again. That's the hope of the gospel, right? And then over here, I get to say, look, your romance is wonderful and good, and I love to watch you. You're excited about it. But we've got to look inward to Jesus, because outside of a Christ-centered marriage, it will never make it. It will never be successful in the way that God's called us to be. It will never be a true reflection of how God created it to be, a covenant like Christ and the church. Does that make sense? And I'll just tell you right now, I'm not going to get into, if you're following the notes, I'm not going to get into the finance theology today. You can go look at that online. There's just some other things that I really need to hone in on today. Knowing Christ and making Him known, it sounds easy, it sounds simplistic. It is in the very fabric of everything that we do here at Catalyst Church. When it comes to our culture, we carry that DNA across every platform. Everything that we do has it intertwined into it. When we look at finances and stewardship, it always goes back to that same conversation. How do we steward our time, treasure, talent that people give to us to know Christ and then to make Him known? We want people to abide in Christ, have healthy souls, strong biblical community. We want people to be literate in biblical understanding. We want to make disciples who go out and make disciples. In my experience, most churches aren't making disciples, let alone reproducing disciples that reproduce. And that was Jesus' main call. Go and make disciples of all nations. We focus heavily upon that here. We want to move people from an intellectual knowledge or a religious knowledge to a transformed heart. We want to move people from conforming to religion because, well, that's just what we do. And won't God see all the Sundays that I served in children's ministry? And won't that be a good thumbs up when I stand before Him on Judgment Day? That's conforming to religion. We want transformation of the human heart, not your physical heart, your spiritual heart, the inner person. Outside of Christ, you are separate from Christ. You are, we'll get into that in a minute, but we want to see you not just intellectually say, yeah, religion sounds good and I like that. Because if you go into it intellectually, somewhere down the road, you'll be convinced otherwise. Because when God says in His Word, I know it feels good, I know it looks good to you, but my Word says that sin, don't do that, you're going to say, wait a minute, which do I choose? If it's all just a conforming or an intellectual, or if you're a consumer Christian that you're just looking for what's in it for you, the minute it's not for you and about you, you're going to abandon it. That's a conforming believer. A transformed believer says, I am crucified with Christ. He's changed my very nature. And the things that still feel good, the Scripture says, sin is pleasurable. It feels good for a season until it demands a payment. Sin will have consequences. Oh, but if it was wrong, then I wouldn't feel so good about it. Well, we got to stop moving with our feelings, and we got to go back to, have I been transformed to where my heart is making those decisions, my transformed spirit, and not just my feelings and not just my intellect. Because God will lead you to do things that go against your intellect, but your transformed heart knows. So we want transformation. We want to move people from just coming to a horizontal place to a vertically driven relationship with Jesus. See, I learned years ago when I went through my stage where I was mad at the church. Loved God, but hated the church. I went through a stage years ago. Many of you have heard my story. I'm a smart guy, right? Not to some people, but in my, I've got street smarts. And when I look at systems, I'm like, okay, you've got government, you've got school systems, you've got politics, you've got all these different administrative systems in the world. When you look at the church, if this Jesus thing's not real, then the church is running a scam. You got people at the top. You got one pastor taking in all this money, and he's got all of this authority. And man, he's manipulating. He's doing all these things on a horizontal level. Why would I want to be a part of something like that? I can get much better benefits by being a part of a country club. Where I grew up, there was like Moose Elks lodges, right? I could go be a part of this group, and I give this, and I get that out of it. See, that's if you're looking at it intellectually and horizontally. But if you see it through the eyes of transformation, if you see it through the eyes of eternity, if you see it through the eyes of the church is more than that, then it is absolutely the hope of the world. And as jacked up and as messed up as the church can be, it's purposeful when I give my time, my treasure, my talent. Because God is doing eternal things with it. It's not the same as when I give my time to other nonprofits or other good things in today's day and age. I can't tell you the amount of conversations I've had over the years with God-loving Christians who don't see a difference giving money to a secular nonprofit and giving money to the church. Well, they're both doing good, right? Oh, so it's just about doing good now. I remember somebody that had a kind of a chip on their shoulder about the church years ago, and they claimed to be a Christian. And where I grew up, there was this huge organization. It's an international organization now that does some good, but they do a lot of bad if you're a Christian, if you look at where their money goes. And this person's defense was, well, I feel like they do more good than bad, and so I'm willing to give my time and volunteer and give my money, but they wouldn't give towards the church. It's because intellectually or horizontally, they needed a heart transformation. They were looking at what am I getting my best value in? What am I getting my best return on investment? Or what's in it for me? The problem with a lot of American churches today is we feed consumerism. People show up and they say, I don't like that music. It's not as good as the music I listen to on the radio. And I would like to say, okay, that's wonderful and great, but the music here is not for you. It's not to entertain you. It's to worship Jesus. So if it's a banjo, if it's a hand clap, if it's no instruments at all, if it's cartwheels and circles, whatever it is, it's not about you, it's about Jesus. And absolutely, we don't want our ears bleeding because of, you know, the sound. We want it to sound decent, but we're not here to try to compare ourselves with other organizations. We are the church of the living God, and we're here to know Christ and to worship Christ. And so I want more for Catalyst Church than just a horizontal commitment. Yeah, I'll add Catalyst to my giving of charity. I give so much a year, and I'll add Catalyst to that. No, we want you to give your lifetime treasure, talent to the kingdom of God. And if He plants you at Catalyst, then you say yes. That's where I'm going to make that commitment there. I hope that makes sense. Because, folks, we have people that are on their way to hell. They are separate from God, and they are all around us, and a lot of them think they're doing good gets them into heaven. A lot of them think their church attendance gets them into heaven. We've got to break through that and say, no, the church is more than that. The gospel is more than that. We got to point them to the Jesus, not the American Jesus, the Jesus Jesus, right? The Middle Eastern Jesus, the Jewish Jesus, right? That shocks people when you tell them, Jesus wasn't white. He's Jewish, and he's still Jewish. He's seated at the right hand of the Father, and he's a Jew. He's dark-skinned. Don't know exactly what he looks like, but he's definitely not white American or European or whatever, you know, background, how far back you want to go. We're talking about Jesus, not the American Jesus. We want to invite you. Many of you are sitting there thinking, okay, duh, we've been over this. Well, then you should be amening. You should be like, yes, yes, yes. But what's different sometimes at Catalyst is we want to invite you, not manipulate you. We don't want to manipulate or micro-control or, well, you do realize, you know, put pictures of sick puppies and orphans, you know, on the other side of the world and say, well, if you don't give today. No. We want to invite you to a vision. We want to invite you to steward what God's given to you, time, treasure, talent, and to partner with us. Catalyst Church at the body of Christ at Catalyst Church. We want to see healthy organisms reproduce healthy organisms. It's not about numbers, it's about health. We don't look at the numbers as our health measurement. We look at transformed lives. You can have a lot of people showing up and they're not transformed. They just like what's in it for them. It feels good. And again, there's nothing wrong with large numbers. I think there's some great large churches doing some amazing things, and I applaud that and celebrate that. But for us, it's not about the numbers, it's about the health. Anybody ever heard this one? John 3:16. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whoever believes in Him should not perish but have everlasting life. Many of us came to Christ or to faith in Christ on that, right? That should be a cherished portion of Scripture. But do we ever read verse 17 and verse 18? For God did not send His Son into the world to condemn the world, but that through the world through Him might be saved. He who believes in him is not condemned, but he who does not believe is condemned already because he does not believe in the name of the only begotten Son. I'm just going to read this because it just breaks my heart. Rather than try to articulate, I wrote this. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. As a redeemed people, we celebrate that. We should corporately gather and celebrate John 3:16. But what about the other? There are people in our workplaces, our neighborhoods, that the wrath of God is against right now. And guess what? You hold the key. I hold the key. Am I stewarding what God's given me in the gospel? Do I know him? And am I making him known? We have the gospel. We have the heart of Christ. We have the message of reconciliation and hope. This should break our hearts. It should change our priorities and move us to go out and to make Christ known. This understanding that people are lost changes the conversation quickly. We stop saying, Lord, please don't send me to the jungles and across the seas. And we say, Lord, I'll do whatever you want me to do because somebody out there, your wrath is against. And I hold the key. I have the gospel. I have the love of Christ. We stop saying what we won't do. And we say, Lord, I'll do whatever you want me to do. Because I know where I was, a lost sinner, depraved, separate from you. And somebody came along and said, you need Jesus. Somebody came along and displayed the love of Christ in a dark hour of my life. Somebody came along and met me in my deep, dark place of sinfulness. I know people, let me just say it this way. I used to have a hard time with Christians being around dark places. I grew up in a dark place and I wanted to stay away from that. But over the years, I realized that if I have the light of Christ, why would I stay in the light places? Why don't I go to the dark places as Jesus commanded me and say, take the light to the darkness. Jesus was in the temple, absolutely, and with the Pharisees and the Sadducees and all of the groups of religious leaders. But he spent a bulk amount of his time with the publicans and the sinners and at the parties. And he wasn't there getting his Jesus groove on. He wasn't partying. He was displaying the very light of Christ. He was showing them the conviction of God by not participating in the things that they did and accepting them right where they were. Well, I got to drink that because I don't want them to feel awkward. Make them feel awkward. Show them you don't have to participate in those things. There should be a separation between light and darkness. And if I fit in dark places, I should look in the mirror and say, why do I fit in dark places? Why do I feel so comfortable in dark places? That one was just for free. I hope it helps us understand we are called to go. If you've ever heard of Keith Green, he was a singer, a worship leader many years ago. White guy with an afro. You'll see any of his DVDs. Or his CDs, or actually they were 8 tracks and then records. I have a CD of his now. But he had a song called Jesus Commands Us to Go. And it's all about the command to go, but the lyrics say, but we all feel so called to stay. We've lost the mission. We've lost the heart of God. We've lost the command to go. Now here's the thing. Before I take up a collection and ask you to go to the mission field with me next month, right? That's not what this is about. What it is to say, he commands you to go wherever he commands you to go. Well, where do I go, Nate? Well, what's the answer to a million questions? Abide in Christ. Well, wait a minute. I don't feel compelled to go. I honestly don't feel compelled. That's wonderful and great. This one does, and guess what? They need money to go. Write them a check. Write them letters, encourage them. You know what? I don't feel led to go, and I don't have a lot of money, but I'm an interceder. God's given me a gift of intercession. We need that more than anything. Are you going to call their name in prayer every day that they're out on their mission field? You see, that's the beauty of the body. There are certain people. I remember years ago this person that came to Catalyst and made a lot of money, was a businessman, very successful, and had a conversation with me because some pastor somewhere told him that he wasn't spiritual because all he did was give money to the church. And he said, God's given me a gift to make money. I make money and I give a lot to the church. And I don't know what else I can do. And I said, brother, it is super spiritual to give money if that's what God's called you to do. There's actually a gift of giving in Romans chapter 12. Somebody that has the gift to make money and to give money. Be that person. But if that's not you, don't feel guilty if it's not you either. What has God called you to do? Well, where are you going with all this? All I'm saying is this whole series is Heart for the House. Stewarding the gifts and the callings, the time, the treasure, the talent that God's given me. And then you look in the mirror and say that God's given you. Why would I give money to a cause that does some good on the earth when I can give time, treasure, talent to an eternal cause that lives are being transformed? People are being changed from darkness to light in this church, in the community, through this church on a regular basis. They're being snatched from the jaws of hell. Why would we not want to give time, treasure, talent to that? I don't understand that. And if it's not here, where? Where is that church family? Where is that biblical community? Now, again, if the church leadership is abusing money and not handling it, that's a whole other conversation about you got to confront church leadership. But we're wide open about what we do here. It involves each one of us. It begins with you being a disciple. When you're a disciple, that's why, again, we love the journey around here. It's a year-long discipleship. Most people, most guys that I've led through the journey, it's guys and girls, I take guys too. By the end of the journey, it reveals so many things in them. What am I called to do? I have a sacred responsibility with, and they can name the amount of money they make, the family they've got, the location, where they live, all these things. And they say, now I've got a sacred responsibility to go out and to make Christ. If you can get that's where it all begins, being the disciple. So I'm going to skip over these. The Catalyst Church Finance Theology, you can go back. Let me just read. We have a commitment to an abundance mentality. We have a commitment to absolutely trust God. We have a commitment to be a blessing and a commitment to one kingdom living. Those are all things that we believe at Catalyst Church. These are in the, well, if you're in your membership manual, if you take on Catalyst, you'll see these. It's on our website. You can see them in the notes online today. But I want to take this a little bit different direction. So Matthew chapter 6, verse 19. We'll pick up there in a minute. There are a lot of people today that are confused about the state of humanity. There are a lot of churches preaching. I'll just leave that one. Romans 3:23. For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. Who has all sinned? All have sinned. Romans 6:23. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Christ Jesus our Lord. All have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. The wages, the penalty, the price that I owe because of my sin is separation from God, is spiritual death. Call it hell, call it whatever, but I like the term separation from God, because separation from, even here on this earth, people have, Scripture says in Romans 1 that they have an understanding of God because God has not been fully removed. But think about being fully removed from the presence of God. That's hell. I know there's arguments. Is it a literal place? Is it annihilation? Is it forever? Just imagine separation from God. Romans 5:8. But God demonstrates his own love towards us, that in while we were sinners, well, while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. While we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Actually 2. So before I jump into that, I can't express my frustration enough. There's just no words without yelling and screaming and feeling like I'm being critical. How frustrated I get as a person who loves Jesus and loves his word and loves people and sees lost people, and then spiritual leaders in the church come along and say, it's okay. You're doing fine. You just do a little bit more good work. You just come to church and you're going to be okay. God loves you right where you are. Did you know that God loves you exactly where you are? If you are in the deepest, darkest place of sin, did you know God loves you right where you are? But just because he loves you does not mean that you're his son or daughter. That doesn't mean that you're in fellowship with him. It says he demonstrates his love towards you that while you were a sinner, what is the wages of sin? Death. While you were separate from God, while you were condemned, while you were damned, right? That's the word we used growing up. Like, that wasn't a cuss word. That was a holy smoke of somebody. That's why when someone damns somebody, I'm like, whoa, you realize what you're saying? When you tell someone to go to hell, do you realize, like, the fear of being separate from God, does that not mean anything to you? Like, why do we use these words so easily? They carry meaning. But God loves you right where you are, but it's not where he wants you to be. Absolutely loves you where you are, but he wants you out of that place. He wants you in fellowship. He wants you as a son or a daughter. Well, isn't everybody God's children? Open the Bible and show me. Where? Where does it say we're all God's children? That's a big one too today. Well, everybody's God's child. Where does God say that? If this is his revealed word, where does he say that? It says we're all made in his image. But it actually alludes to and says in one spot that we're actually sons of Satan. That makes a little more sense. Family heritage, family lineage, right? Oh, yeah, my dad was rough. Well, have you ever met my dad? Satan? Outside of Christ, that is our destiny. Separate from God. Why are you doing this, Nate? Because we're talking about knowing Christ, making him known. We're talking about we are not going to let people just be festered in their sin and tell them, it's okay, God loves you. He does love them, but he wants them out of that. And it takes me committing my time, treasure, talent to go to them and say, man, somebody needs to tell them about Jesus. And Jesus might be saying, hey, Nate, you're right there. I've given them you. Oh, but I'm not an evangelist. Isn't that the pastor's job? It's a disciple's job. What has he called us to? Wherever he's leading us. So I'm gonna land this plane with these thoughts. It is a dark, dark conversation to talk about depravity and separate from God. People don't like this. They even believers. It's just we get loosey in our seats. Like, oh, I don't like talking about that. We need it before our eyes, so it drives us to live this vision out. What are the things in my life that I've given to horizontal earthly things that when I see somebody separate from God, it compels me to say, that's suddenly not important. And what's important is to give my time, treasure, talent to this over here. That's what we're talking about. Stewarding the vision to know Christ and make him known. It's not some catchy slogan and t-shirt that we have and a nice logo that we share. This is why we exist. Acts chapter 2. This group of people that Peter just gives them the gospel, and he's really not nice about it. He just tells them, hey, you guys are the ones that killed the prophets. Like, you crucified Jesus. But it says in chapter 2 of Acts, verse 37, now when they heard this, they were cut to the heart and said to Peter and the rest of the apostles, men and brother, what shall we do? I tell you what, I used to do a lot of street witnessing, and if it gets to that point, it is jackpot, it is hallelujah, it is... You're asking me, you're inviting me. I've broken down your self-righteousness, and I've shown you that you're lost, and you're asking me, what must I do to be saved? And Peter says, just be good and go to church. Just tithe. That's all you got to do. Is that what Peter said to him? No, he says, repent and let every one of you be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of your sins. And you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. He is the promise to you and your children, and all who are far off, as many as the Lord God will call. Repent. And he says, and be baptized as a public declaration. Go testify. Tell about it. It's a cultural immersion. You are being baptized into Christ. So what is repentance? Repentance is a turning away. It is an acknowledgement of wrong. It is recognizing that I'm a sinner, I am depraved, I need Jesus. It's turning away from that to Christ. It's saying, I can't do it on my own. I am unrighteous, Lord, outside of you. I need your righteousness. I've tried to do good works. I've tried to do this. Well, fill in the blank. I can't do it. And Jesus is saying, no, you can't. That's why you need grace and you need me. That's the sealing the deal right there. You're born again at that point. There is no scripture about asking Jesus into your heart. I know people have taught that. Well, where does it say ask you? No, it doesn't say anything about asking Jesus into your heart. It says it'll change your heart. You know, it says believe from your heart. It doesn't say anything about asking him. And again, blowing up some people's Sunday school flannel graph. Wait a minute. There was a big heart and Jesus got in the heart. You don't remember that? It's not super scriptural. It's not wrong and horrible, but it's repentance. It's turning away from sin to Jesus. And now you're under grace. Does that make sense? Do you feel encouraged or do you feel beat up? I think we should be encouraged. I think as a church, we should say, yes. Knowing Christ, making, okay. Matthew 6:19. Saying all that, so where does this leave us on the stewardship? Time, treasure, talent. Jesus, this is the words of Christ. Do not store up for yourselves treasure on earth, where moths and vermin destroy and where thieves break in and steal. But store up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where moths and vermin do not destroy, where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, where your heart will be also. A lot of people are spending their lives building up earthly treasure. And Jesus is saying, that's where your heart's at. Oh, but I love Jesus. I love my church. But your heart is wherever you're putting that time, treasure, talent. That's a tough one. I'm telling you that. Well, can I not love my job? Not saying anything like that. We're saying, what is the first place? Where your treasure is. Time, treasure, talent. Again, when we say treasure at Catalyst, we mean it all. A lot of people just pull money out. Money's a part of it, but it's time, treasure, talent. It's all of it. I can't give money to this thing over here, but you spend that. You want to get into the things we do spend money on. That shows where your heart's at. And that's okay. It's not a beating anybody up. It's saying part of my role as a pastor is to rightly divide and give the word of truth. And let the word work in your mind and in your heart. Luke chapter 12, verse 16. And Jesus told them this parable. The ground of a certain rich man yielded an abundant harvest. So he's a rich man. There wasn't a problem being rich. He had an abundant harvest. He thought to himself, what shall I do? I have no place to store my crops. Then he said, this is what I'll do. I will tear down my barns and build bigger ones, and there I will store my surplus grain. And I'll say to myself, you have plenty of grain laid up for many years. Take life easy, eat, drink, and be merry. I'm just going to say this and then move on quickly so I don't get booed out again. I don't see traditional American retirement in Scripture. I remember years ago this guy came to our church on a Wednesday night. He was a missionary. He had lived faithfully as a pastor in the States for many, many years. He had amassed a decent amount of money for a 401k. He was at the age of retirement, and the Lord spoke to his heart and his family's heart and said, move to Asia. They literally cleared out everything they had at the beckoning of the Lord. He was told by the group, the church denomination, I mean, he was called stupid. I mean, to his face, they put out things about him. Hey, we think he's losing it. He's having a late in life, midlife crisis. Like, they gave him so much grief, and all he said was, I've seen more fruit in the last time it was how many years of my life. We have more joy as a family than we've had in all these years in American ministry. Not knocking the ministry he had done, but he's an abider in Christ, and he heard something, and he did it. And even his church leaders were like, eh. Jesus said, let me finish reading. He said, you fool, this very night your life will be demanded from you. Then who will get what you have prepared for yourself? This is how it will be with whoever stores up things for themselves but is not rich towards God. Now again, he's speaking of non-salvation, salvation. But here's the thing. If you're retired and it's all about you and doing what you want to do, that's a conversation to have. But if you're retired and you still give time, treasure, talent, that's what it's about. We have people at Catalyst that are retired from a job that give hours on end of volunteer work to here because they're like, I can actually do more for the kingdom than I ever did when I had to go to a secular job. That's not what I'm talking about. We're not talking about not saving. We're not talking about not being good stewards in that respect. We're saying, what is God leading you to do? But it's not to just build bigger barns and to amass more wealth. What is the kingdom conversation? Lisa McFadden, a couple, maybe 4 weeks ago. She's a member at Catalyst Church here. I'm just going to read what she sent me. I want to tell you about my friend A, the letter A, because they can't use her name. You'll know why in a minute. Another dear friend introduced me to her earlier this year. She is a loyal, smart, funny, creative, and very artistic young lady. She does not have any family left after her mom died in February. Her mom and sister died several years ago. A is a human trafficking survivor who barely escaped in January of this year after many years of abuse. She lived at a women's shelter in our area until the COVID-19 lockdown, and they made everyone at the shelter move out. The shelter found her an apartment, and she moved in with a mattress and a few kitchen things they provided and a backpack of her clothes. They have helped with rent, a phone, a couple of other bills, but that is ending this month. Our family and others have helped her up until this point. A grew up in a rural farm area, and her mother was both physically and verbally abusive. She didn't allow A to go to school, thus she never learned to read. Because of what she has been through, as well as not knowing how to read, her options are limited right now. She's been working with an advocate from the state for help and employment. However, the advocate has told her it can sometimes take quite a long time to go through the process, especially with everything going on with COVID and so many people being out of work. So I'm going to read this last part in a minute, but Lisa was introduced to this conversation, and instead of just, you know, many times I read stuff like that and I'm like, man, that's a sad story. She had a moving of the Holy Spirit. She's an abider in Christ, just like Nikki did last week. I need to do something about this. So Lisa went to work. Our family has been blown away by her artistic ability and we're wanting to help her sell some of her art as income. 100% of what we sell will go to helping A with rent, bills, basic necessities, food stamps won't cover, and purchasing a bike. So 3-mile trip to her to walk to the store and having a bike would be amazing for her. Update, Lisa sent me this week. They actually have a way of getting her a bike through a organization called Pedal It Forward. Her artwork, they created a Facebook page. As of last week, over half of the art at this point had already been sold, and she was going to make rent this month, and she has more. One of the things I haven't shared yet is her hand-drawn shape. She created 22 different ones, and she just got color books yesterday, and they're going to start selling those. And so now you've got the body of Christ, the state. We appreciate all that the state can do, but the state's limited. So many times the church gives just, well, let the government take care of them. Let the government deal with them. We have an abider in Christ who just made Christ known. She felt led to do something. Nikki last week. So what we're talking about is to go out and to make Christ known. You don't have to go stand on the table at McDonald's and throw your Bible around and yell at people about Jesus. It's stuff like this. They're making Christ known to somebody who has no point of reference about Jesus. And so I leave you with that today as we move into communion here. The worship team could come. The stewarding aspect of all of this begins with you and Jesus. It begins with that intimate, abiding relationship with Jesus. Please don't leave here and say, I got to sell everything and get rid of my retirement. I got to, you know, don't do anything that anybody else did. Get in your alone time with Jesus. Get into that intimate place with Jesus and say, God, what are you calling me to do with this lost world? If you own a business, it could be as simple as just doing something there. If it's neighborhood, if it's your home, whatever that looks like. But guys, this whole series, Heart for the House, we want you to steward well what God has given to you. I've said this for years. I don't remember. I think I was a teenager. The only legacy that Nate Sweeney wants, and it has nothing to do with when I'm gone here, the only legacy I want is when I get there to hear the words, well done, good and faithful servant. Enter into the goodness or the fullness of the Lord. That's what. So that means, you know, people talk about the procrastination thing, right? Why put off today what you can do tomorrow? I said one recently. Why do tomorrow what you can put off today, right? Why wait to put it off? Why not just put it off today? We have this mindset that tomorrow is going to be better. That there's something else out there. What about, you know, the other side? And I'm 43, and I woke up this weekend, and I'm like, man, where did the years go? People around me that I thought were old when I was a kid, you know, they're going on to be Jesus, and now I'm the guy. I'm like, when did I become old? And I'm still 43. I wouldn't say I'm that old, right? But I'm going, when did this happen? See, life passes day by day. The days are long, but the years are short. And if we keep putting off, if we keep saying, well, man, one day I'm going to give to the church. I'm going to do good at my job, and one day I'm going to write a big check. Then you never will. Or one day I'm going to take the weekend off and I'm going to take my family and we're going to go serve at the local food bank. You never will if you keep putting it off. So I'm here today to encourage you. Christ is being made known in this community. biblical community. Heart for the house. Do you have a heart for what God's doing in and through Catalyst Church? And if not, what is it going to take to rattle that the salve, or what is it? Put salve on your eyes or remove it. I don't remember what the scripture is, but to get the muck off so that you can see clearly what God wants you to do. And I can't think of a better time to do that than communion. So if everybody grabs it, I think everybody should have got. Now, the key to this, we go through this every time because I get lost in this. You got to peel the little top one first, otherwise you'll never get the other one. So get your bread, and then you can peel the other one. So I know there's a lot of new faces around here. You don't have to have any prerequisites. There's one prerequisite to communion at Catalyst is that you're a believer in Jesus Christ. You confess Him as Lord. And if that's you, then join us in communion. And Jesus said, as often as you do this, be reminded of what I'm doing for you. And then Paul affirmed that in 1 Corinthians 11, and he talked about it's the Lord's table in the sense of we're remembering what Jesus did. Well, what did Jesus do? What was He talking about? It was at the Passover dinner, and He was saying, hey, this lamb that we just participated, the Passover lamb, that this religious ceremony that's been passed down from generation to generation, He told them that night, I'm that. I am the Passover lamb. I mean, imagine that. He is saying, thousands of years, I am that Passover lamb. And if you don't understand the history and the culture that, you know, God brought the angel of death to pass over the Egyptians, and then the people of God would take the process that God gave them, and they put blood over the doorpost, and the angel of death came and it passed over those where the blood was. The angel didn't look and ask who was inside. He saw the blood, and that was it. I don't know. Somebody here needs to hear this, so maybe online. Well, but that's for somebody else. I'm not worthy enough. No, you're not. That's why God says none of us is worthy, and He makes you worthy. None of us in and of ourselves is worthy. And so if you're struggling online, or if you're struggling in here and you're saying, but He'll pass over some others, but not me. You don't know my story. You don't know my God. You don't know the grace of Jesus. It says He paid the penalty of sin for all sin. Not just the big ones that we have in our heads. All sin. And so it says, on the night in which He was betrayed, He took that bread and He broke it and He passed it around and He said, take, eat, for this represents my body, which will be broken. Father, we just commit to You right now. If there's sin in our lives, we repent of it right now. If there is stewardship that we've been neglecting, we just repent of that right now. Lord, and I ask that as we process through these next few moments, that You give us directives. Heal us, deliver us, set us free. If there's people lost in here, save them, Lord. If that's lost as in separate from You. If you're watching online and you don't know Jesus, right here, right now is that opportunity to receive Jesus. I already went through the process. He demonstrated His love towards you, and that while you're still a sinner, He died for you. Hallelujah. Let's eat of the bread. Then He said, it took the cup. He said, this is the representation. It's my blood of the new covenant. Sealed with my blood. I don't know. I don't know, but I think some people gloss over. I'm saying, yeah, God's grace. Separate from God in the presence of God. Well, I mean, we were alienated, the scripture says. We were lost. I mean, I think we forget sometimes how saved we are. We take for granted moments like this. It's not a beating yourself up. It's a fear of the Lord, honoring what He's done in our lives. That's why we gather around the communion table. Jesus, You gave Your life. You became man. You became sin that I could become the righteousness of God. You became poor so that I could become rich. All these things in Scripture that we see. Let's partake in Jesus' name. We're going to close out in a song here. And if you guys would just stand. As we sing this song, I'm throwing you for a loop here, Daniel. So just stand with us. And we're going to sing this song, and then we're just going to let the ushers dismiss you guys at that point, at the end of the song. But before we do that, as you're standing, we appreciate you guys' continual giving of, of finances, especially during this time. Many of you saw in the family meeting, we had a down year last year. We're wrestling with what all that looks like, but we're not scared or nervous. God always provides. But we thank you for your faithful support. If you're giving on the way out, drop it in the container. If you're giving online, you've already been doing that. You know what you're doing. But as we leave here today, again, wait to be dismissed. Sing this song. It's always about Jesus. It's always been about Him. It always will be. Let this be an anthem for you saying that I'm going to commit my time, my treasure, my talent to this knowing Christ and making Him known. God bless you.